Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist and I've been writing about and talking about M&A for a decade. Today, we're heading to Mumbai. The Kolkata Knight Riders won the Indian Premier League with an 8-wicket win over Sunrisers Hyderabad. The Kolkata Knight Riders team is co-owned by Bollywood actor Shah Rukh Khan. And in this episode, we're looking at how the ownership model of the IPL teams is changing. I'm joined by Darshan Rain, who is the India Bureau Chief for Merger Market. Hi, Darshan. Thanks a lot for joining me today.
Hey, Juliana. Thanks a lot for having me.
Can you begin by explaining how the Indian Premier League's ownership structure has changed over the years, please?
Yeah, so India, the Indian Premier League or the IPL is the world's second most expensive league and rakes in revenues in excess of $10 billion. It is second only to US's National Football League, which garners garners revenues of around $18 billion. Since its formation in 2008, IPL teams' ownership were mostly dominated by domestic corporates, which include Asia's richest man, Mukesh Ambani, and celebrities such as Shah Rukh Khan, whose team won the latest edition of IPL. So what's changed since 2021 is the entry of private equity players such as CVC and Redbird Capital. It has marked a shift away from traditional ownership structures. While Redbird bought a minority interest in Rajasthan Royals franchise, CVC fully owns Gujarat Titans, which it then bought for $700 million. Both CVC and Redbird have been marquee investors in sport. Redbird, which has interests in Italian football club AC Milan and US's baseball team Boston Red Sox, and CVC Capital boasts of a portfolio that has spans investments ranging from Formula One, rugby, football, tennis, and volleyball. Since this is the first instance of private equity involvement of sport in India, it has drawn other potential investors to keep a keen eye on the space. A case in point being Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, PIF, which reportedly expressed interest to own a minority interest in Indian Premier League.
And can you just briefly touch on what's attracted private equity to the IPL, please?
Yeah, so what is unique to the IPL is the cricket frenzy in India. As you know, cricket is almost a religion in this country. So there's a massive viewership. This edition alone saw 500 million plus users over 67 matches. So this translates into a large consumer base, be it for advertisers, title sponsors, media owners, or individual team owners that can benefit from the league's growth. Also, the fact that the league is profitable and growing helps. So for comparison, in 2008, when the league began, the average valuation per team was anywhere between $75 million to $100 million. These valuations have now surged to over $1 billion per team. So that's a 10 to 13 times increase in value over 15 years. So our view is that private equity for players have sensed an opening. They believe in the fundamentals, the model which has been tried and tested. There is good visibility and good prospects for the sport, and hence the interest.
Yeah, and India's huge population must mean that there's lots of opportunity for growth as well.
That's right, Julian.
Looking at valuations, could you run through the Indian Premier League's revenue model and how it compares to some of the other major sporting leagues, such as the English Premier League and the NFL in the US, please?
Yeah, so largely franchise teams in sporting leagues make money via two avenues, right? Which one's the central pool and the second being self-generated. A central pool is where the governing body of a particular sport distributes a portion of revenues via sale of media rights and advertising rights to participating teams. And self-generated revenue is which the teams make independently by virtue of selling merchandise from team-specific sponsors and thereon. In IPL, by various estimates, around 70 to 80% of these revenues generated are contributed by the central pool, which is controlled by BCCI, the regulator. This is in stark contrast to global leagues, where successful teams have a 50-50 revenue split, that is from the central pool and self-generated. Some of the global sport team generate as much as 25 to 30% in revenues from merchandising, as opposed to a mere 1-2% for IPL teams, right? So this small number, 1-2%, is in part because of the challenges that, the challenges in forms of piracy and counterfeiting that are prevalent in India. So in summary, the latest media rights were sold at a $5.8 billion for a five-year period ending 2027. This translates into a revenue of $60 million per year per team over the next 5 years. And this is apart from distribution of league title sponsorship and team-specific associate sponsors.
Thank you. And India was a rare bright spot in the global IPO market last year. Given India's booming IPO market, what are the prospects for IPL teams going public?
Yeah, as you rightly pointed out, Juliana, India is a booming IPO market, and we've reported at Merger Market about the prospect of two IPL teams, that is Delhi Capitals and Punjab Super Kings, considering IPOs. So our sources say that there could be considerable buying interest from conventional anchor investors, ranging from sovereign wealth funds, mutual funds, insurance firms, and foreign portfolio investors that could see value in such investments. Also, among retail investors, there's a wide fan base that want to own a piece of their teams. So there is sentimental value attached to it, even if the team does not generate significant returns. The proceeds from the IPO could then be deployed for expansion purposes, including buying cricket franchises in other geographies, including in Europe, Middle East, Africa, and also the US, where the T20 Cricket World Cup is currently ongoing. As you may have noticed, there's also an effort to popularize the sport in these geographies.
And what returns can investors expect from such IPOs compared to some of those Western sports teams that you mentioned earlier?
So we analyzed six such listed counterparts in leagues in the US and Europe. The track record of listed sports teams is mixed. While some like Manchester United, Borussia Dortmund have seen value gains, others like Madison Square Garden Sports and Atlanta Braves have not performed as well. So the performance of IPL teams post-listing remains uncertain, but there's definitely a potential there, given the league's profitability and profit popularity.
And you touched on some of them there, but could you just run through some of the challenges to listing such franchises in India?
Yeah, so one major hurdle is getting the regulatory body BCCI's approval. Sources that we spoke to have noted that BCCI is often regarded as an opaque cricket regulator and does not like much external control and scrutiny. Additionally, the IPL's short season limits revenue opportunities for teams outside of the March to May window. The sister franchises that teams own in other leagues as Caribbean Premier League and Major League Cricket could help diversify and stabilize income throughout the year.
Thank you. And then just to finish off, can you tell me if private equity or venture capital groups are eyeing other sporting leagues within India as a means for investment? And if so, what other leagues are ripe for that investment?
Right. So apart from IPL, other leagues, sporting leagues within India include Indian Super League, which is a football league. There's a Pro Kabaddi League. There's Premier Badminton League and Indian Hockey League, which is coming back after a gap of 8 years, and it's to start in December. The problem here is they are all still in early stages as compared to IPL. So while these leagues are not yet attracting significant private equity interest for individual franchise team ownership, they could still be appealing to venture capital firms that are looking to, you know, looking for smaller investment opportunities.
Great. Darshan, good to talk to you. Thanks very much. That was Darshan Rain, who is the India Bureau Chief for Merger Market. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the show. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.